Been just a tremendous blessing to fellowship with you folks, and appreciate the hospitality, the food, and all the hard work that goes on. The people that have labored tirelessly and just done so much to make us all feel welcome. And I want you to join me in giving all these folks here at Baton Rouge a big hand. And I especially want to thank Brother Donald for stepping in Mark's place. What a great job he's done. And Mark talked with Mark, and he, of course, wants to be here. But the last thing he told me was, he said, "I don't want everybody there with a long face and being sad." Said, "You get over there and tell them to cheer up. Want them to enjoy themselves and have a good time." And we've certainly done that. And while we regret the circumstances of life that they find themselves in, it's wonderful to know that the grace of God is sufficient in all things. And so it's been a great weekend, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Just real quick, a quick announcement or a commercial. The second weekend in September, beginning on Thursday, September 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, we'll be having our annual Bible conference in Chattanooga. And like they do here, we'll furnish you the rooms. We'll furnish you most of the meals. We don't serve all the meals there, but all but lunch on Friday and Saturday. We'll serve all the other meals, breakfast and supper. And we start on Thursday night. We'll have preaching Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. I think last year we had 14 preachers there. Being centrally located like we are, there'll probably be some preachers that some of you maybe never even met. I was just telling somebody about Brother Dan Gross, always comes down. He's a missionary to India, a grace missionary, a King James Bible-believing grace missionary. And he took a stand several years ago, and he was part of an organization, a rather large mission board. And because of his stand on the King James Bible, he separated from them and went out on his own. And he's right now in India preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He's opened an orphanage there. And he'll be with us and several others from that maybe you don't usually see at the conferences. But we'd love to have you come. And if you can go to our website, understandingyourbible.com. And on that website, there will be a reservation form, and there'll be all the information about the conference. And we would love to have you come be with us. And we have a great place to meet there. We fill our church up once a year. That's when we have a Bible conference. Sometimes we meet back in the back on Sunday night back in the fellowship hall. And the reason we do that is because back there we can have a capacity crowd. Anyway, hope that you'll come be with us in September. Bible conferences are a wonderful thing, wonderful time of fellowship. And we'd love to have you come be with us, especially if you've never been there before. You'll enjoy it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All weekend I've been thinking about what to preach as I was given the opportunity to conclude here. And I'm going to borrow Brother Brian Sykes' line. I'm not going to hold you long. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, about 30 years we've been having Bible conference in Chattanooga. And after about the first 5 years, I thought I had some type of mystical pulpit. Because what I found was that there were certain men, when they got up there in the pulpit, they lost all ability to tell time. So I'm not going to hold you too long. But, listen, I understand. Every preacher has more to say than you could ever say in the time that's allotted. If you really love preaching, you never get through. You just take an intermission. You just take breaks. So if I don't take as long as you think I ought to, it's not because I don't have a lot to say. It's probably because I got tired or I saw you falling asleep back there, you know. It's like the little boy fell asleep. A preacher said, "Wake that boy up." She said, "You wake him up. You put him to sleep." And little boy was out in the back of the church there, and there's a big plaque there. Had all these men's names on it. And she said, it was a memorial plaque. And little boy asked his mother, said, "What are all these names of these men out here?" She said, "Those are men that died in the service." He said, "Which one, the morning or the evening?" 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And I found, folks, that anytime I'm kind of in quandary about what I ought to preach, I just should generally go back and talk about the cross. Paul said here that Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. In Romans 1:16, he said, the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you've been here this weekend or even in just one service, I trust that you know what the gospel is because it has certainly been proclaimed. As Brother Jerry's talked about last night, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to your salvation. It's the only gospel that your apostle ever preached. And Paul says right here that he was not sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then he tells us that he was not sent to preach the gospel with wisdom of words. The reason being, if he did, the cross of Christ would be made of none effect. If I stood up here and tried to impress you with what I know, or and I couldn't do that, but if I tried to, and tried to somehow get you to say things that would cause you to like me, I might make the cross of Christ of none effect. You see, it happens all the time. I hear preachers preach the cross, and then at the end of the message said, now, if you'll give your life to Jesus, God will save you. You know what that preacher just did? He may have preached 30 minutes on the cross, but in 2 minutes, he destroyed all that he said by giving the individual something to do in their flesh that all of a sudden made the cross of Christ of none effect. I want you to see this morning and understand. And by the way, if you're saved, say, and in, maybe in the back of your mind, the thought is, well, here's another salvation message. I can rest. I just turn my mind off. Well, keep in mind that he said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. A saved individual needs to hear the cross of Christ preached on a regular basis. And a saved individual needs to understand what took place at the cross, because only by doing so can they appropriately and effectively communicate to other people what took place at the cross. And so when Paul said there, the preaching of the cross, that's what I want to talk to you this morning. I want you to look over in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, in verse 12. I trust most of you understand the context of Galatians chapter 6. Paul is writing a letter to some people that he had preached the gospel of grace to, and that those people understood, but somebody came along and they said, except you be circumcised, like Brother Jerry's talking about in Acts 15 there, you cannot be saved. And so Paul said, well, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, if you're trusting in some physical thing that you did, Christ is of no value to you. The cross is of none effect. You see, like Brother Byron said, you can believe the historical facts. I did. That's all the, listen folks, all the gospel is, and I don't mean to demean anything by saying all it is, but it is a statement of facts. The statement is that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. You can believe the historical facts and yet not trust in the work that took place there at Calvary and still be lost. You might be like a Galatian. It might be that you heard the grace of God, but you say, well, I remember when I walked the aisle. I remember when I joined the church. That's the position I found myself in. I kept going over and over. I must be saved. I joined the church when I was 12 years old. I got baptized. I believed the gospel. But Ephesians 1:13 was not true in my life. There was never a time in when I had trusted until one night I did. And I finally got peace. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But that's what you're saved. It's the power of God. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said, as many as desire to make a fair show, that means a public display. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for, what? The cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, they may glory in your flesh. Think about that, folks. There are people today, there are preachers today that will tell people that they've got to do something in order to be saved, and they themselves don't even believe they have to do it. I'm telling you the truth. Paul said in verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Notice the wording. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you glory in the cross? Amen. I hope you do.
if you're not saved. The cross is probably an offense to you. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want you to turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus 1. I had 4 points to cover, and Brother Byron covered the first one so well, I can just get on to number 2. Now, seriously, I appreciate what was said there because of the thing about the sin. But I want you to understand there may be somebody that's here that maybe the right division and stuff's kind of new to you. But we always put the chart on the board up here, and obviously we've got the first coming of Jesus Christ over here. And in Matthew through John, we have his ministry upon the earth and his ministry to the 12 in teaching them to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says he opened their eyes of understanding to them and said that remission and repentance of sin should be preached. And that's exactly what Peter preached in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So I know that even, as Brother Jack pointed out last night, which I really appreciated, because sometimes people kind of get, you talk about selling out and keeping the commandments, and all that was what the Lord Jesus Christ said. But as Jack said, nobody's ever saved apart from the blood of the cross. And people always need to remember that. They could have blessed Israel, but their sins were paid for by the blood. A person could keep the commandments, but their sins were paid for by the blood. A person could sell what they have like they did in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, but their sins were paid for by the blood of Christ. The difference is when it was revealed. Notice what Paul says in Titus chapter 1 and who it was revealed in 2. He said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. All right, then, we're going through the book of Acts over here and we're reading about the salvation that is preached by the 12. We get over to Acts chapter 7 and Stephen preaches that murder indictment. I think nine times he references your fathers and how they had rejected. And then ultimately we find Saul standing there holding the coat of those that stoned Stephen to death. Folks, in God's prophetic timetable, God would have been just in pouring out his wrath upon them right there. And the 70th week of Daniel could have began. I didn't take any far. The English was the only foreign language I ever took in school. And so in Acts 9 through 28, the primary emphasis there is Paul and his ministry. We get over here, and the next 13 books, obviously, are Romans through Philemon, books that the Apostle Paul wrote that tell us about the dispensation of the gospel, the dispensation of the grace of God. But there's another time, there's another name for that, that I find in Titus chapter 1. Look there in verse 1 again. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me and the 12. No. Which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Then folks, the Apostle Paul was the due time testifier. There's a time over there when the time was due. Megan's time, she may be due today. And if she is, that baby's going to come forth. There was a time in God's, it's called God's eternal purpose. When God determined that there would be a message that would be all inclusive of all men, that would proclaim to them that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And Paul said it was manifested his word through preaching, which was committed unto me. You understand? Paul is our apostle. And Paul preached the cross in a different light than anybody else in this Bible ever preached it. They talk Peter preached the cross, and he preached it as a murder indictment. You see, simply to preach the cross and the blood of Christ as being a sacrificial lamb is not exactly the same thing. Why? Because in preaching the cross, we see that God made him to be sin for us, you understand. Not just the many, not just Israel, not just those that blessed Israel, not just for the Gentiles that were in covenant's promise. All men. All men. In Romans 1 again, go back there if you will. Romans 1, and as we turn to other passages, hold on here, as I want you to notice something. God has manifested His Word through preaching. So what is it that was manifested? And he says the preaching of the cross. The word preach simply means to make a public declaration. Well, I want to publicly declare to you today some things about the cross, just three or four of them. The first one is Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation. Everyone to believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The first thing I want you to notice that was manifested by the cross was the sinfulness of mankind. Say, well, where'd you get that in verse 16? He said the gospel of Christ, didn't he? What's the first statement in the gospel? Christ died for our sins. Folks, I want you to stop it. How ridiculous is it for people to believe that somehow God would accept some kind of stupid act in their flesh to reconcile them to God when He allowed His Son to go there and suffer and die for their sins? Like walking an aisle or being baptized or being circumcised. How ridiculous is it that that man would have in his mind that somehow what was done at the cross just wasn't quite enough? That is foolishness. That is stupidity. Christ died for our sins. You know what that tells me? That tells me exactly what Brother Byron was just saying. Man is no good. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Genesis 6:5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. There are many religions today that preach and teach that a person becomes a sinner when they commit their first sin. You know when you become a sinner? When the doctor hits you in the butt and you start crying. That's when you know why people want to teach that you become a sinner when you commit your first sin? Because they also want to teach that you can become righteous when you quit sinning. That's what that's all about. Well, you didn't have anything to do with being born a sinner. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world. Death by man. And so, because all have sinned. And that was manifested at the cross when Jesus Christ hung there and you read in your Bible that God made Him to be sin. That is a declaration not of anything He did wrong. It's a declaration of what you did wrong and what you are wrong in your flesh. The sinfulness of mankind. Verse that was read there, from out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. 13 things there and they're all bad. That's the sinfulness of mankind. That's what was manifested at the cross. But not only that. Also, at the cross, was not only manifested the sinfulness of man, but the righteousness of God was manifested. Look there in verse 17. For therein, in what? The gospel. You see, when we read in 1 Corinthians 1:17-18, Paul makes it real clear that the preaching of the gospel is the preaching of the cross. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom words. For the preaching of the cross, he says. In other words, one and the same. Well, you get down to verse 17. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Look over in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now, if you stop right there, man could throw up his hand and say, well, what an unjust God was. He took Adam's sin, placed it to our account. We're born, we don't have a choice. We're born sinners. We're born under what? Condemnation. Well, that wouldn't be fair. You know, this world's all about what's fair. Folks, can I tell you, life ain't fair. The whole creation groaneth and faileth in pain together until now. Life is not fair. But notice, God is. He said in the next part of the verse, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men in the justification of life. The righteousness of how many? One. Folks, your righteousness is not the issue today. You know what your righteousness is? It stinks. The Bible calls it filthy rags. And if you don't understand the implication of that, get your concordance and study about what filthy rags are and were. That's how God sees your righteousness. Can you imagine an individual one day standing before God Almighty and the Lord, in effect, says, what have you done that you deserve to be here? And this man said, well, you don't understand. I was a deacon. And he throws out that. He said, and besides that, I tithed. I gave my money. I served on the committee to stripe the parking lot. And I was the visitation director and taught Sunday school. And when the choir director was out, I led the music. And besides that, I was good to my wife and kids, and I never cheated the IRS, and I was good, and I was a good person. And all of a sudden, this man's throwing all this stuff out there, and he's just expecting to look down and see the Lord really impressed with his good works. And he looks in the face of the Lord, and the Lord points down and there's a big old pile of filthy rags that this man has to present to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our righteousness is, folks. It's His righteousness that you need. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where? At the cross. At the cross. Because in Romans chapter 5, He said, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men in their justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By how? Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see the righteousness of God is manifested. Not only that, we see that the judgment of God is manifested. Look back there in Romans chapter 1. You know, it's becoming more and more unpopular to preach about wrath and hell and judgment. I've got a friend that's a grace preacher. And this man, several years ago, he took the position of universal salvation, that everybody's going to be saved. There is that the whole world is going to be saved, no matter what. I understand all that, where he's coming from, all that, but I know that's what he's teaching. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, in that gospel, Christ died for our sins. The Bible says that he endured the cross, but he despised the shame. The idea that it was just no big deal for Christ to go to the cross is a terrible misunderstanding. Oh, he was God manifest in flesh, and he knew he was going to be raised from death. Listen, folks, the Bible said he sweat drops of blood and cried and prayed, Father, be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus Christ looked into those cups, no doubt saw the wrath of God, and he knew what was before him. And he went out there, and he was stripped of his clothing. He was mocked. He had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He was nailed to a cross. And if that weren't enough, they said, if you be the Son of God, come down off that cross. And they pierced him with a spear, and he cried out. You see, if the physical suffering weren't enough, consider the emotional suffering. The one who prayed there, Father, restore unto me the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. Folks, the faith of Christ has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ went to that cross totally dependent upon God raising him up. And if he doesn't, he can never get back to where he came from. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. He became a servant. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God judged him in our stead. And so he finally called out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why God forsook him? He became sin. God is a holy and righteous God. And when Jesus Christ was made to be sin, made to be the homosexual and the drug addict and the alcoholic and the harlot and the drug, no matter what, he became everything sinful that there is in this world, folks. God turned his back on him. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did you realize if you're saved this morning that God did something to his son he'll never do to you? He forsook him. You know why he did that? He did that because of you, because of me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't merit it. That's the judgment of God being shown at the cross. You'll never be judged for your sins. Why? Because Christ was already judged for them. And so not only do we see the judgment of God, but we see the love of God manifested at the cross. Look in Ephesians, if you will. I tell you, go Romans chapter 5 first. Romans chapter 5. Someone read the verse, I think it was yesterday, John chapter 15, verse 13. Maybe it was Friday night. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Maybe it was Sean that was talking about the friends, not being friends of God. Well, let me show you a greater love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get good enough, folks. He didn't look down through the ages and say, there's a bunch of good people out there, and I think I'll save them. Don't be deceived by the Calvinistic idea that God chose certain people to be saved and certain people to go to hell. That's an egotistical, prideful doctrine. He died for the world. He died for your sins. Don't sit back here trying to figure out if you're one of the elect or not. God will save you right now if you'll trust Him as your Savior.
Amen.
You've heard the Word. You've heard the truth of the gospel. And if you reject it, as Brother Brian Sipe says, not only will God put you in hell, He'll put you in the bottom of hell and fry you like a bottle sausage. And He'll be just in doing so. Why? Because He already